XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Very good. A very good Monday, race fans. And for some reason, I can't hear myself. That's very strange. And, well, I can see a bar case, so I guess I'm all right. But suddenly I can't. Not getting anything back to me. All right, you tell me if I'm not coming your way. Am I all right? That's strange. All right, I'll figure it out when we take a break. Huh? We're back from Kentucky Downs, and it could not have been a nicer few days. I'm so glad that I went. And Saturday, of course, you know, the big day. They finished up yesterday. Joel Rosario, another four wins. An unprecedented, outlandish 6 days for him. He got shut out one day. But other than that, just incredible. Incredible. 17 wins. I should reach out to Ron Anderson. I spent a good portion of both the race days with Ron, and he said he, even before Rosario finished up strong, it's a matter of getting onto the right horses. And boy, did he get on the right horses! Just amazing. 11 favorites actually of those 17 winners. It's such a unique and fun place to go and visit and take in the races. And as I think I said Friday, it's just so relaxed. I mean, particularly after Saratoga, which has a certain, you know, has a certain formality about it. It was really a great way to transition into the fall. And speaking of transitioning into the fall, they'll take entries today for Thursday at Belmont. Opening day at Belmont actually starts with the two jump stakes, the Lonesome Glory and the Entenmann. But it won't take long. Nice little break here in New York. The horses get a freshening. Not that a number didn't, you know, head out to Kentucky Downs and succeed there. And we'll talk about that. We'll have, in this first hour, kind of an eclectic day, too, because of the sale starting. And we'll talk to Nicole Russo about halfway through this morning. We'll get Nicole's sales advance at 1 o'clock. The Keeneland sale kicks off, and over the next 2 weeks, what, today through the 24th, I believe, yeah, 24th, is that right? Yeah, through a week from Friday, the one dark day, this Friday, book one and two, these next 4 days, about 700 top pedigrees will go through the ring. The early potential here, not that this surprises anybody, but I just was looking at some of the hips to watch lists, and we'll see, you know, what else, Nicole. It's kind of hard not to have hips to watch the first few days in particular, because you've got just a glittering array of grade one type mares. And in fact, hip number two. How about the Galileo filly out of I'm a Chatterbox? Bang. It takes all of one hip to, one thing that I missed when I, because I was out of town, I did not get a chance to scoop up a set of catalogs. And at Saratoga, usually you get that, you know, that bound set, you know, it's like a collection of Dickens work. I did not get the 6 or 7 book catalog. So I'm going strictly off the online catalog, but just Whistle Dixie's got a Colt, Hip 25, Clear Sky, and of course she's been so productive, New Year's Day and more, and this is a quality road Colt. How about the American Pharaoh out of Let Go My Echo, the Echo Zulu sibling, Echo Town, of course, is as well. This is a filly. Curlin, Warfront, Quality Road, Violence, Uncle Mo. You know, there's a Justify filly, Hip 72, out of Mo Kushla, who we just talked about, had that first-time starter, the 2-year-old sibling, on Saturday. That's the bench points and points off the bench relative. It's a glittering array, as I said. This always kind of fun. This first week in particular, with the big names and the spirited bidding, but then, you know, you get into the middle portion where, you know, a whole new set of buyers wade into the action. The people that get turned away for some of their, you know, desired hips, well, they get pushed back into books 3 and 4, makes that competitive, and then the bargain hunters roll in. And yeah, there may be, you know, hips that have a little, you know, have a little scratch and dent and you make a decision. You make decisions about, you know, what you can live with. So the fortnight of the Keeneland sale, and of course last night, actually, appetites getting whetted, much more of a breeding stock scenario with the dispersal from Mrs. Abercrombie's Pin Oak Stud. And this one featured a number of premium broodmares. And Don't Leave Me, the sale topper, 640, 650, 650. Woodford. And she's actually carrying an authentic. Is that what I saw? I think I saw that she's carrying an authentic. So, always bittersweet whenever you get an operation. We saw this, of course, with Samsung, and it's tough when you see one of the real hallmark names and operations pulling back. But invariably, when it comes to this, invariably, these families end up with, you know, new owners that understand the value, and, you know, it's augmenting their own broodmare bands. So I'm sure they're all in good hands, and still hard, still sad to see, you know, when you have these kinds of dispersals. The racing, back to the racing. We've got plenty of time to talk sale. And Saturday, and we'll hear from a nice variety. at least three of not just the weekend, but the Kentucky Downs parties that were successful, and there was a terrific mix on that front. And if you were watching the feed, my feed from Kentucky with the social media stuff and some travelogue stuff, Brian Lynch. And Lynchy's going to join us first this morning. And on Thursday, he won that juvenile sprint with Red Danger, the orb that we talked about with Luis Saez. And I got that great picture when he was telling Frank Lyons, it's $500,000. Well, I don't know if he did it again yesterday, because I had to come home. But I didn't have to come home, but I came home. I struggled. I gave Keeneland a real consideration going to Keeneland and spending the part of the week, maybe the first couple of days, but a little too much. That's almost easier, probably, to cover the sale from here. The second win for Lynch came yesterday with Toby's Heart, and it was also $500,000. So a very productive run at Kentucky Downs for Brian Lynch. 7 starters, 3 wins, 2 seconds. Yeah. Pretty outstanding. And there were quite a few records like that, including Rusty Arnold. We'll talk to Rusty. And it was gear jockey. And not only was it gear jockey in that turf sprint, the $1 million turf sprint, it was really a masterful job by Rusty, who had this assignment circled, and this was the target literally since spring, that everything was geared back, literally gear jockey, literally circled this date and worked backwards and planned everything. And that's horsemanship. Obviously things can get tripped up easily. I mean, any morning, any day, any gallop, any kick of a stall wall can throw you off, but this was really executed brilliantly, and gear jockey throttled that excellent group. Career best effort. There were quite a few career best efforts, in fact, at Kentucky Downs. How about Hendy Woods for Mark Cassie in the One Dreamer? I know I mentioned it on Thursday after the win, but that was a big effort. Or Friday, I guess I mentioned it. They run out. I tell you, I made a list today. I'll put out the full buyer list of the Keeneland of the Kentucky Downs results with the stakes. I'm waiting for yesterday's 3 stake figures, but there were quite a few, super impressive performances. We'll talk to Paulo Lobo. Haven't talked to Paulo in way too long. And as we said with Hammer, I think on Friday, I always bring up Farda Amiga, one of my favorites. And Lobo with Imperador. And Imperador was certainly... I thought for a horse that had a what was he? Was he 15? Yeah, it was 15-1, but had plenty of support from people. There were no shortage of, and I did save it. Marcus Hirsch had Imperador second. Marcus liked Gear Jockey. Marty had Imperador third. Kenny Peck had, Kenny Peck technically scratched into Imperador because Fantasioso for Nacho Correas. I saw a number of people. I had Imperador down as the fourth choice. Same with Gear Jockey, too. You know, kind of as bees. But Imperador absolutely didn't sneak by anybody. And still went off at 8-1, paid 19.20, and I'm sure there's people saying Arklow was okay. I suppose Arklow, you know, with trouble, just because it's a big sweeping turf course doesn't mean you can't get into trouble. I mean, a bunch of us were watching the monitor for the replay to see, you know, how and why and where, you know, the various places that Arklow had to check up, and I had to pull out the old Alan Jerkins classic, which was turf racing, where one horse wins and six should have. that's a perennial. that one never tarnishes. it's such a funny place, and it's in terms of making your selections, it's the kind of place where you go in with a certain idea and then you watch the board, and it is a meet and a series of races that invites impromptu action, you know, where you just, I mean, I made a couple of plays. Hammer and I, in fact, because of the way Rick had stressed Al Stahl with In Good Spirits, and In Good Spirits is a crazy story because everybody had discussed how In Good Spirits on merit should have been in the field for the Grade 3 Ladies Sprint. And the conditions were such that, you know, a somewhat less qualified horse got in ahead of her. And people were like, how can this be? No, it's just the way the conditions were written. And as a result, it seemed like In Good Spirits wasn't going to get in. Well, then Peter Miller's She's So Special came up off on Saturday morning. So that gave Al Stahl a chance to run In Good Spirits, and he was obviously thrilled. However, they had trouble getting a van. There was not a van at the ready to get In Good Spirits down to Kentucky Downs. This was crazy. And Al Stahl, they quickly pulled it together. They were within about 15 or 20 minutes of saying, forget it, we can't get down there. And they end up getting her a ride. She comes down and she wins easily under Johnny at 15-1. And Hammer, you know, Hammer had said on Friday when we were handicapping. So I was all over Catch a Bid. So I keyed off of Catch a Bid, but then the way Hammer was carrying on before the race, I 15-1, he couldn't resist. And there was a fair amount of this that went on. Some right and some wrong. Imperiador, actually, that pretty much stopped me in my tracks, in terms of cashing tickets on Saturday. The too late, I was alive in the pick five, actually. And in the Franklin Simpson, I kind of afterward realized the Learjet. How did I leave Learjet off? That was not smart. That one was, you know, at first pass, I thought, how do you not use? And then when it came time to build tickets, did not have the Learjet. And, you know, new gelding this summer, you know, after, you know, what had really been a frustrating, I think, series of performances this, you know, this summer. And Brendan Walsh gets to send out the Learjet and wins. Brendan had a terrific, right? Not only the Learjet in that Franklin Simpson, but in the ladies' marathon yesterday, Family Way with Gaffleone. So there was a lot of opportunity and a nice variety. Brendan also had a high-priced maiden winner on Saturday, right? That Boxing Day, the first-time starter. Yep, 19-1, 39.80. One horse that came through as a short-priced favorite, who we've been singing the praises of, you know, Mike Stidham. Mike was on with us, what, last Monday? And I'm kind of glad. I hope some people took advantage. Stidham not only, of course, Pixelate midweek in the Mint Million, but Princess Grace, after a bad start. I mean, and she, not only did she start bad, she got kind of bounced around. And Florent Giroux, who did struggle a bit this at the stand, Giroux gave Princess Grace a absolute perfect ride, let her recover, did not rush her into contention, let her settle, made some progress, joined the back end of the field. And if you were worried, I mean, I singled and wrote, you know, and she was really the one free square I thought you could count on the day. And when they were coming toward that turn, that dog leg down the hill, Florent Giroux was still standing up. And then he, you know, they had started to, you know, set down on her and lean forward and start to ride her a little bit. And she just, at will, she is now 6-for-7. 6-for-7. And it's simply a slightly mistimed ride in the Valley View, where she kind of, you know, got to the front a little early with Sean Bridgemahan and got caught by Stunning Sky. But other than that, I mean, that literally, I mean, I'm sure if you know, Sean had it to do over, and if they knew more, I mean, that she was, that was her third start and stakes debut. I'm sure if they knew more like they do now, that's Giroux's second win with her. He was honor for the Mrs. Revere off the turf. So I think she's pretty special. And to me, as I said to last week to Stidham, really under appreciated. And maybe she'll start to get, you know, more attention now. So many fun things, really. And I only saw two of the, I only saw two of the 6 days in person, and you know, watched the rest yesterday. Actually, I must admit, yesterday I got very lucky. The Eagle game was on Southwest. It was on the feed. It was on their free TV, so I was very fortunate. I was able to watch the game. So I did not watch, I watched only replays. And in case you missed it, since last year, EAGLES, Eagles. Yeah, that was good. That was very satisfying start to the season. Well, so, we're starting here, and we got to get Brian Lynch in first. And Case, let's see, I'll play around here. I don't know what exactly... I'm going to go ahead and try him, but I hope I don't have an issue hearing him. It's so funny. I had the music before before the show, and then as soon as we started, there we go. All right. I got it. There was a setting. I didn't notice. En route. Well, I packed this thing in a... I got a funny story while we wait for Lynch. I packed the printer, which comes with me, and the soundboard. So, a lot of times the dials get moving around. Yeah. Yesterday, I've got TSA pre-check, but at some points they used to look at they'd look at the printer, they'd look at the keyboard, the soundboard. So yesterday they pull a bag out, but it wasn't the bag with the computer, with all the equipment. It was my briefcase, and it was because I had stopped yesterday on the way to Louisville to Standiford, Muhammad Ali, I should say, and I stopped at Frank's on Preston, and I got a container of Frank's fabulous pork barbecue. TSA was, "What's in that container?" I said, "Barbecue from Frank's," and they said, "Oh, all right." I was nervous for a minute because I thought, bottles of shampoo they take away. So I thought, oh my God, they're not going to take my Frank's barbecue. So they didn't. They said, okay, we understand that. No, that would have been a tragedy. Are you kidding me? And the guy, actually, the one guy said, with the guy that looked in the bag, I had like a 2-pound, 2-pound deli container. And the guy said, "Oh, nothing wrong with barbecue." I said, "You ever go to Frank's?" He goes, "I used to." He said, I used to go to Frank's. I haven't been in a while." I said, "Oh, can't miss Frank's." So, that was yesterday's, I can't call it an incident with TSA. It wasn't. There we go. Well, a lot of people that came to Kentucky Downs had fun. Nobody had more fun than Brian Lynch. And I can testify to that because I had a front row seat as Brian, particularly on Thursday, wins with the 2-year-old Red Dragon, Red Danger, I should say, and then comes back yesterday. Toby's Heart, 2 wins. Brian, they're $500,000.
No, I'm sorry to see that little meet end, Steve. I wish it kept going.
Well, it was a pretty good week for you down there, and really almost everything you sent out seemingly was live.
Yeah, it was a good week. It's such a great just such a great little carnival down there. It gives you that country feel, and for me, it's very much so like country racing in Australia, so I get a real buzz out of it. And obviously the purse structure, once I've relocated here to Kentucky over the last couple of years, you sort of start to work the circuit out and try and not over race your horses at Saratoga and come out of there with healthy, fresh horses. This year things really went our way because we had, both spots for these horses in mind up there, so... it's nice when it comes to fruition.
Well, and we joked about that when I saw you on Thursday, even before the juvenile sprint race, about how you came alive late in the meet at Saratoga. We'll probably talk about those horses in a minute. But before we do anything else, you mentioned the similarity to this, to this country course. And the first person I saw Thursday when I was there, when I got there, was Rusty Arnold and Ian Wilkes. Actually, Ian was the first person after the show that I talked to, and Ian said the exact same thing. He said this is a lot like some of these rambling courses you see with the sort of rickety fences.
And the kangaroos hopping across them.
Right? Exactly.
That's the only thing we lack there is the kangaroos. But I've seen on the drive down, there's an Australian farm, so we should have hired a few of them and turned them loose.
That it's so funny. I saw that. I didn't notice that driving down because it was nighttime when I got to Louisville on Wednesday to drive down to Franklin. But then driving back yesterday, I saw that same thing. They call it Kentucky Down Under, or
yeah,
Down Under Kentucky.
Right. Yeah, that was classic.
Pretty funny. Well, and Ian Wilkes had basically the same thought about the.
Bit of a carnival atmosphere to it too, so it really does. It really reminded me of country racing.
Well, start with Red Danger on Thursday, and we had talked about this race on the show Thursday, and it seemed to me, Brian, that if you've got an Orb 2 year old that wins in its second start, going 5.5, that bode, I thought, bode really well for what to expect here. And certainly he took plenty of money. This is Silverton Hill. This was a $17,000. This was what, a weanling for $17,000?
Yeah, I believe so. Was it a yearling or a weanling?
Let's see, 21. This is a two-year-old. So, yeah, weanling, 19.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, yeah, that's right. 19. November, Keeneland, the breeding sale.
Yeah, like Phil Hager bought it for Tom and Bonnie Hamilton there, so he's done a very good job picking him out, because he definitely grew into a lovely-looking horse. But we had the chance to go out there and pick a few two-year-olds, and... he was one of them, and the other one was that Static Fire, which is a filly that won at Saratoga too. So, to me, he's just a beautiful little compact sort of colt that I've had a lot of luck with keeping them style of horses sound, and they stand up to the training really well. So I really didn't look at his pedigree too much, because Orb hasn't been a champion in the shed yet, so... I was more going on the individuals, and he always trained very forward, and he trained so good on the dirt that we ultimately tried him on it the first time, and it was sort of a green race. He took some dirt early, and it was sort of a even race. He made a bit of a middle move and then sort of hung, but we'd come back and give him a work on the grass, and he worked really, really well. And I forget who I worked him with, but I worked him with an older horse that had good form. And he worked better than him, if I recall. And then he when we ran him on the grass, he showed us that's what he wanted to do. And then we'd worked him again in between his win on the grass with this race in Kentucky Downs in mind. And he worked like a bear. Mike Luzzi worked him for me up there. And Mike said we had to get the outrider to pull him up on the backside. He just said he was full of run. Sorry about that car in the back there. Anyway, so that, we give us a bit of confidence coming down here, and he duplicated what we've seen on the training track up in the Oklahoma to his win the other day. Really, really run well. So fingers crossed he's come out of the race good, and look forward to what's ahead of him.
Stylistically too, it feels like this is a very rateable horse that kind of moves on cue. And Louis Saez was aboard. In fact, Louis's ridden him all three starts, and you would think that he'll keep stretching out successfully.
He gives me that feel, Steve. He definitely does. I think he'll get two turns and get it comfortably. And I think his next start, we'll try him over at Keeneland in the two-year-old. It's a grade two. It's a mile and 16th. And it'd be a good stepping stone if he was to run good with that group. Maybe you'd think about the Breeders' Cup mile for him.
No doubt. Absolute natural. Red Danger. And figure-wise, a 73. So basically, he's paired up. And this is kind of a different profile for an Orb, not necessarily what you would think.
Not at all.
I'm just looking, the Distorted Humor Mare, forget it. This was bred by Dot, and there's a good Samaritan out there. That's a yearling, and there's a Maximus Mischief Weanling. Interesting. This is, you know, and this is, I'll tell you one thing that's notable. This is the mare's first foal.
Well, she might be a mare to follow.
Really interesting. Her name's Forget.
She's starting a runner with this guy.
Yeah, and she was a one-time winner herself by Distorted Humor. And interesting. This always comes at a kind of fun juncture. Saratoga, Del Mar, Ellis, they slipped this race meet in, and lots of updates for the Keeneland sale, certainly. Well, how many horses have you had for Silverton? For the
On and off over the years. Not that many, but fortunately they give you two or three at a time, and wonderful people to train for, very patient. So it's nice to see him come with a good horse.
Well, that gets us to Toby's heart as well. And this was, I don't want to say never in doubt, but got bet with the expectation that she, she was the horse to beat. And then she went out and ran like it. And for Joel Rosario, part of just a incredible six days.
He put on a clinic there, didn't he? He's given all the schooling. It was great to win with Toby. I mean, I felt like confident going into it. She'd been training very well, and she'd been, I thought, maybe racing against a little bit better company and holding her own very well. And maybe could have made an excuse for a couple of races there that she could have finished a little closer than she did. But she's been in great form and cut back the distance, and just hoping that she, take to that course. But sometimes them good horses, they'll take to any sort of course, and I think she's one of them. And I not long watched the replay for the first time this morning, and I didn't realise just how confident he rode her the last part. So great to see her back on track. Great group of guys in her, Terry and Gary. So me and Terry always a lot of luck together, and more good buddies than we are clients. And Gary's out there on the West Coast, so he was thrilled after the race. Got to talk to him, she's just been a special sort of filly for us. So just, look forward to what's ahead for her too, because I'm still not convinced she can't go two turns.
What do you do next? There's still a couple of opportunities. I mean, when you say two turns, and you think about what's coming up on the schedule, is the QE2 too ambitious?
No, I mean, it's not for me. Probably some people would argue that she wants to go that far, but I you're only going to get one more shot at running three-year-olds in a grade one, and boy, if you were to get lucky, it's a nice little thing on their resume before they finish their three-year-old year. So, it's definitely in the back of my mind. Yesterday, she just, even though she had a lot of pace to run up, she just switched off so lovely, and she was just so textbook to ride. Whenever he needed her, she was there. And when he asked her to quicken, he really had some horse. So I think she's going to give you that turn of foot, no matter how fast she goes, if she just gets the right pace to run at.
There's something notable, too, about her breeding. She's by Jack Milton, and I think we talked, I think at some point, she came up in other discussions, in after one of the, maybe the, was it that Limestone, maybe in the spring, or last summer, maybe. But Tom Evans, Trackside Farm, pick of the pack, a Lil's Lad mare, which you just you don't see too many of, and right,
very obscure,
very much. And you've got she's got a hat full of siblings. There's a pair of commissioners behind her, Principality. That's the 2-year-old. There's a commissioner filly. He's a colt, Principality. There's a commissioner filly. Full sister, that's the yearling, and then there's an Astern weanling that dropped this year, and this mare has got to be She's got to be 20 something years old. She's 20. She's 20 years.
Yeah.
20. She's 20.
Yeah. She's been a different producer over the years, too. You know, I don't think she's thrown a lot of black type, but they've all looked like they've ran out a little bit of money.
It's funny. Early on, she had a long career herself on the racetrack and didn't start to go into service until 2007. And they bred her three straight times to greatness. And they got two nice winners, including a 13-time winner, Great Aztec. And then For the Love of Lil. And then there were a couple of unraced Uncle Abbeys and an unraced Courageous Cat. Then was Barren and Slipped, and now suddenly has got a big horse, a $500,000 earner, and a 4-time winner in Toby's Heart.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yep.
You never know.
And
some people, you know what? Some people, after a 5-year period with three unraced horses and a slip and an uncovered, some people would have given up, and instead end up with this nice horse. And was what, a $45,000 2-year-old in training sale purchase at OBS March last year.
Yeah, Alistair Roden picked her out, and Terry had called me and said, "Hey, Alistair's got some horses there you want to go and have a look at?" And so Alistair showed me the horses, and I called Terry back, and I said, "If you're going to buy any of them, buy the Jack Milton. If you buy her, I'll go in her with you." So that's how it come about.
So unbelievable.
We end up buying her, and then me and Terry were partners. And as after she got rolling a little bit, Gary come and bought into her. He stood Jack Milton, so he's got a bit of stake in the game to watch his stallion produce a nice stakes winner like this. And you know, be nice now to get some graded stakes on her, which I think she can do. And, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe she's a late-running sprinter but I think she can get a mile and beyond. So I'll put my neck on the line to try and find out.
I love it. Toby's Heart. And in fact, I should mention Gary Barber. Speaking of Gary, the Toba Owner of the Year Saturday at the Toba Awards, and that was at Hill and Dale. I would have loved to have gone, but
deservedly, he involved in a lot of horses, but he puts his money up and he loves the sport, and great guy to train for.
Well, and not that Seth Klarman doesn't I voted for Seth several years in a row. Gary Barber, the last couple of years, could very easily have been as worthy an Eclipse Award. Certainly was worthy of being a finalist. This was a very nice nod in his direction. Third winner of the Kentucky Downs season was Honor Hop for the Hills, and this Honor Code second win for her.
Yeah, she's very honest, sort of a one pace stayer. I mean, she loved the Kentucky Downs. In fact, she leading up to the race, I'd run a horse early, and the horse didn't run too good, and I went back to the barn, and she could see the track, and she got herself all stirred up and stalling. Well, I'm thinking, God, don't tell me, I'm going to have to deal with this. So I said, let's give her a bath, and I took her out the back of Kentucky Downs, and I just let her drop her head and pick grass, and she just decompressed, and then right in that race before her passed the wire, I put the bridle on to the paddock. So if there's a theory that you can't let horses eat grass before they run, I blew it out the door, because she grazed for an hour and a half before I ran.
That's funny.
But she calmed down, and she was good to saddle, and because she can be a little bit of a handful. But she certainly showed up that day, because she won very comfortably too.
Well, that was the mile and 5/16 allowance
one
race.
One lap of the oval.
Yep, all the way around, and one wins by a comfortable margin, 83 buyer as well for her. And Brian, there's been a wrath of winners here the last 2-3 weeks, and that includes back at Saratoga that first time starter Classic Causeway. How did he come out of the debut win?
Yeah, good. He's come out of his race very nicely, and he'd been a two good friends of mine from California had bred him, and he was just been a pleasant surprise from when he come in. You know, he was always a horse that was loved to train, happy horse to be around the barn. He just lovely horse to work with, and every time you worked him, he just kept getting better. And so, you know, he's one of the last of the Giants causeways. I think there's only one other colt out there, so it's nice to see him come with another runner, because I think this horse potentially is a very, very nice horse. And it was a good stack maiden allowance at Saratoga that day, and he won, you know, he took it to him gate to wire, and the further they went, the further he won by. So was thrilled with that effort. I think he ran like a 90 buyer, so we'll run him in the Breeders' Futurity over there at Keeneland, and hopefully he'll show us that's what he wants to do. But I've always felt that he's going to be at his best going two turns, so hope he proves me right, because he could be potentially another horse for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Dirt.
Look at you. The tremendous. In addition to Classic Causeway, you mentioned that Static Fire, and that was the other smashing winner. That's the Spitester filly.
Yeah, no, she, you know, definitely them auction races. She won one of them auction maiden races. They're ideal for horses that, you know, haven't been purchased for X amount of dollars. So, but she done it the right way. She really did. She broke sharp, and she ran fast early, and she finished strong. So, you know, again, whenever they break their maidens first time out for me, that impressively, they usually got some talent.
Well, you know, one thing, you know, we've had those conversations regularly that where you introduce the two-year-olds. I always save the notes, and actually I put it out on I put it out for everybody so that they've got them listed, and so many of the ones that you've talked about have certainly, you know, come out and run big, and clearly you've got a nice fall to look forward to. I got to ask you one more before Rusty Arnold comes in, and that's Caratari coming out of the Troy.
Yeah, Caratari's doing super. He's going to go up to the Monster Dash at Parks on the 25th, and again, he was to run well there. I think he's a horse that's just, that, you know, would just absolutely love 5/8 on the grass at Delmar. So, again, if he was to run well at Parks, which there's no reason to say he shouldn't, because he's training very, very well, and gear jockey, you know, the Troy comes to be a strong race, gear jockey comes back to win the million, and you know, so if he was to run well at Parks, he's another candidate for the Breeders' Cup too. So, you know, exciting fall to look forward to. Let's hope we can hold them all together, but they all seem like they're doing well. And when you talk to George in your interview next, you tell him I'm breathing right down his back. Because we've got a little rivalry, me and Rusty. But,
wait a minute. If Casey can put Rusty right on the line with us, and I think he heard that.
Yeah, put him on.
Put him on.
Come on. You there, Rusty?
I am here.
I'm coming for you, brother.
Yeah, but I look today, and there still seems to be a little daylight anyway. A little daylight.
Yeah, you still got me by a couple of hundred thousand. I'm coming.
Not much,
you.
But a little bit. I know. Hey, I feel you. I'm not quitting on you, though. I'm not giving up.
I know. Yeah, ain't no lay down on you. Hey, Steve, thanks for having me on. You're going to step it up a bit now. You got the greatest guy in the world about to have an interview. Love you, Rusty.
All right, Brian.
Talk to you later.
Thanks, Lynchy. Unbelievable. How fun. And, you know, Rusty, maybe it's just because it was my first time there, and I just was sort of, you know, giddy and just thought it was such a terrific venue. But it sure seemed like everybody's in a good mood over there.
Yeah, it's just such a more relaxed atmosphere. I mean, I walked into the barn, and I don't know him well, but I was getting my horse ready to come over, and I see Dick Mandela with a pair of jeans and a shirt on, and I'm used to seeing him on TV in a coat and tie, and it just seems like when you get there, you kind of adapt to the atmosphere and relax.
That particularly, I thought, on Thursday. You know, Saturday was a little bit more stepped up with all the graded stakes and so forth. But on Thursday, and the way the thing is set up, I know some of the horse player and fans were a little put out this year with the way things were broken up and where the general admission went. But the group that, you know, basically was going back and forth to the paddock, it was sort of like a horseman's convention. It was everybody you looked at was the, you know, horsemen and their family, and then the, you know, the owners, and it's a terrific setup. I know they're gonna reintroduce the general admission for next year. They're going to fix that and have people back on that side next year. But I thought it was really fun, and you certainly had a terrific week.
Yeah, we had a very good week. Makes it more fun, probably. But I didn't have to deal with any of those issues, which luckily I wasn't aware of them. But they're usually such a fan friendly place that everybody, you know, loves to be there. Again, it's just such a laid back atmosphere. I've been going there for about 25 years or so, and it's just a fun place to go. It's different. And it's a different type of course. I think sometimes you don't know which horses are going to show up and which ones aren't because of the course. But if they like it, you have a big day.
I asked this the other week, last week when we came out of that first the first couple of days. I had Pavel Metka on, and he's brought a couple of different horses and run successfully. For you, what's your criteria to bring a horse, or at least to have an expectation that they're going to like it and run well?
Well, I really don't know that you have an exact one. You kind of like get them ready and hope that they're going to take to that course. I've been lucky. The right ones have liked it. And, the better the horses, and everybody knows they usually show up everywhere anyway. You don't have to carry their course with them. Of all the horses I took down there, though, I thought Chellis was probably my biggest chance, and he ran ran third. But when they show up, they show up, and it pays off.
Well, it paid off with Gear Jockey. Let's talk about the $1 million turf sprint on Saturday, and we were talking afterward. You know, you made it very clear this was your goal, and you know, you weren't worried about what's going to come next or Breeders' Cup or anything else. This was your goal for the middle part of the year, and you started planning it in spring, and then you went out and executed it to perfection.
Yeah, it was one of those plans that fell together. We had kind of circled this race. We thought that it would fit this horse distance-wise, not course-wise. We were more thinking of the distance. And it worked. He got there, and what a day to show up. Did I see the race coming that he ran? Probably not. I thought he was going to run very well just because he had done well at Saratoga. His last work was spectacular. But then I got in the paddock, and I won't forget telling Eddie. I said, you know, our horse really looks good, Eddie, and he's really acting well, but so were about eight others in here. I'm just looking at it, and, I mean, it was a grade one race. I mean, you've got Mark's filly, who is an accomplished filly, as we've seen. She just beat the boys and won right after another. Horses that were just really, really top horses. And they came from California. They came from New York. They came from the Midwest. And they all came together, a good group.
Very much. And you know, one thing that should be, I haven't even mentioned, because we were focused on the winners, as I gave a quick survey of Saturday in particular and Sunday, behind Gear Jockey, Diamond Oops ran a tremendous race. And we had Andy Biancone on Friday, and she said that he had really been galloping enthusiastically on the course, and she's, you know, she knows him better than anybody, and it's her number one horse for, you know, for Patrick. And it should be noted also, Bombard ran a courageous third in here to stay on. And that's a nice sidelines. But Gear Jockey dominated this, and Jose Lascano rode him, Rusty, like, you know, he was 6-1. He rode him like he was 4-5.
Yeah, he rode him well. Since he's been on him, he really liked the horse. He got on him at Saratoga, loved him, and kind of told me throw out the race at the Troy. We didn't get away good. Didn't get a clean trip, and he says he'll be different, and he was right.
Well, and you had tuned up, in fact, you know, after that allowance, going back to Churchill on Derby Day, and, you know, fourth in there, going the mile. And it was at that point where you basically said you were convinced you wanted to turn back?
Yeah, we just needed to try something different because we've liked this horse from day one. Obviously ran him in a Breeders' Cup as a maiden. He ran well, got beat, I think, less than length.
That's right.
And then he had some issues. We tried, you know, as we always try. Mr. Kelly wanted to try him on the dirt. We gave it a try. It didn't work. And then he said, let's just leave him where he's happy, and we did. And he just kept getting to the point where he looked like he would win easy, and he didn't go on. Even if he got beat by a stablemate in Florida in a maiden race. And then he came back and broke his maiden. Then he won an A other than that looked like was going to win by 4 or 5 that day and barely hung on. And we just said, we got to change tactics. He's showing us too much in the morning to run that way in the afternoon, and we decided to sprint him. We backed off of him after that race, gave him plenty of time, and it was one of those decisions that was right. We make a lot of bad ones, but that was a good one.
You mentioned Mr. Kelly, and every time, Rusty, that another one of these Calumet products, whether it's a horse that they buy or a horse that they breed, I don't know why there hasn't been more written and more celebration of what is going on at Calumet, because it's a tremendous story. I know I've brought it up with you, you know, maybe going back to the Pat Day winner, but you know, you certainly and your family understand the Calumet history and what that, you know, what that property means to the industry. And I don't think Kelly can be lauded enough to say what, you know, breathing the kind of life he's, you know, he's breathing into.
No, and I have to agree. He's put it back on the map. It's something. The first trip I made to Calumet, I was in school as a young teenager, and we had to take a bus ride through it. That's the only way I could get on it. And now I'm 45 years later, and I'm fortunate enough that he gave me an opportunity six, seven years ago to train some of these horses. And he has just been a big supporter. He sent me one good horse after another. I mean, I think six, seven, eight graded stakes winners, and he's just been a great support. And he employs a lot of people in the industry. He sends them to everybody. He scatters them out, and he's so important to what we're doing right now. I think you're right. They probably don't get enough appreciation.
Well, Gear Jockey, part of outstanding. Particularly an outstanding day, and in fact, I said to you, I think right after the early winner, earlier in the card, I said I think you're sitting on a big day.
You did worried me a little bit. I thought you were going to jinx me there, but we did. You after the one, you said, I think you're sitting on a big day, and I was a little bit more hoping, but. I did. I might have kidded with you before because I've worked with Mr. Kelly for, I think, about 7 years, and I had never talked to him, and he called me Saturday night. So we had a great conversation.
Oh, that's great.
And went over the horses, so that even added to what a good day I had.
Oh, that's great. I love hearing that. The other winner, of course, Bama Breeze earlier on the card. Yep. Was that a maiden breaker? Yeah, that was a maiden breaker.
No, that was a two other than, actually.
Oh, that was the allowance. You're right. The third race. There you go.
And a good race for him. You know, we got up and beat one of Mike's by a nose. Mike's tough to beat down there because he points to that meet. He gets them ready, and that was a very good win. He had not won a race for a while, and he'd run some good races. He just hadn't won, and to get up on that day was another big day for those people.
Well, just a fun week. And earlier, of course, I think on Thursday, was that Thursday, Mud Pie? Yeah, it was.
Yes. Yeah. Mud Pie just loves the course. He's got two wins in his career. They're both there. He ran a good race at Saratoga to get ready for it and came back and won. And I hope I don't have to wait another year for it, but it's the right course to like anyway.
You know, a couple of quick hits on beyond Kentucky Downs. I want to ask you about that Ginsburn going back to the Secretariat, to the Bruce D at Arlington. And, you know, here's a three-year-old that is really lightly raced. I mean, you tried him right off the maiden win at Ellis, and he rewarded you with a grade one placement for Ashbrook.
Yeah, we were a little aggressive with him. We didn't think it was coming up a very, very big or real strong field. They're all run when you're running a grade one, and we supplemented him late and took a chance and, you know, lost second by a head. Could have very easily have just as been second, and proud of him, and we'll put him away to Keeneland now, and he'll run at Keeneland. You know, it's a little dicey in the fall this year at Kentucky because after Kentucky Downs, we only have Keeneland with a turf course. Churchill has no turf racing this year, so we are limited, and I think those races will be big fields and good horses because it's our last opportunities.
Got to also ask about one of Mr. Humphrey's, that Nyquist filly, the three-year-old Magic Quest.
Yeah, she's really turned a corner, done really well. Didn't beat the filly of Al Stahl's, and we'll probably catch the same filly, but we're pointing to the Dogwood. She's run 3 7/8, and she has two wins in a second, and we'll point right to the Dogwood at Churchill.
Iliogami coming out of the Lake Placid.
Iliogami will probably go back to Churchill also. You're going to catch me not knowing the name of the stake, but it's on the 1st of October on the dirt at Churchill, and maybe get a touch of a class relief. I'm not sure of that because how tough these races are going to be, but she's got two dirt races at Churchill, a win in a second. We're going to go back to that.
And of course, you also ran Navratilova and Farsighted yesterday in the Music City.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed in Navratilova. I think Farsighted was a trainer mistake. I wanted to try the grass. Her mother ran a little bit on the grass, and James told me she never liked it. Just didn't pick up the bit. So that was on Farsighted. Navratilova, I was disappointed in. I thought she had done really well. I thought everything was good for her, and she kind of got back and held. Maybe Brian just took the steam out of her when he went by her. I'm not sure, but I'm not going to give up on her. We'll run her back at Keeneland, and then we'll probably put her away until next spring.
Well, Rusty, there's obviously a barn full of nice horses. That's just a handful of the stakes runners, and there's probably more maidens yet and babies that will be coming out at Keeneland and Churchill. So I know you're shopping. What's your early impressions here? What do you think we can expect starting at 1 o'clock today with the Keeneland sale?
Well, by the volume of people I'm following around right now, I've got my people waving at me, by the way. But there's a lot of people, a lot of excitement. The business is good. The purses have got good. And I think they're going to have a very good sale.
We'll be watching for you and your clients. Rusty, it was great to see you. I'm so glad I came out there. Congratulations on the Gear Jockey win, $1 million turf sprint, and so much more.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
I appreciate it. Rusty Arnold, everybody who's shopping, and actually gave us more time than we anticipated. We're going to take a break here. We got an hour in the books already and just getting rolling. Rich Migliore is going to join us next. I know Rich went down. He sent me a great picture of him and Tony Black. They were at Monmouth, of course, for the Jockeys in Jeans. We talked last week to Barry Pearl about the fundraiser, and we'll get some firsthand comment from Rich and see what else. He sent me a wonderful picture. I'll put it up on Twitter. His daughter, Gabrielle, she competed in Michigan over the weekend in the show ring. And, wow, sent me a pro photograph of her over an obstacle. Great form. Rich Migliore joins us next. Then Nicole Russo will get her preview of the sale. The daily racing form. We're going to talk to Ron Gierkink. We'll get a little Woodbine recap from the weekend, including, you know, Mark Cassie. I mentioned Hendy Woods wins the One Dreamer the other day, and she was spectacular. And Cassie wins three of the five stakes over the weekend at at Woodbine, including with Mrs. Weber's Tap It to Win. Little bit of an upset, actually, in the Seagram's Cup. Yeah, got Tap It to Win around. So we'll talk to Ron Gierkink. Not so much about Woodbine's recap, although I do want recap. Tomorrow, the Prince of Wales at Fort Erie. The second leg of the Canadian Triple Crown. There's a group of eight. It's kind of a curious group because there's no way really to know, you know, who necessarily is going to take to the dirt. You got some turf movers and some synthetic movers, which isn't unusual when they go to Fort Erie, but seems particularly, you know, particularly tough tomorrow. So I want to get Ron to give you a little preview. They've got two $80,000 stakes as well on the undercard, and two little $30,000 stakes, but the $400,000 second leg of the Triple Crown, Prince of Wales, tomorrow at Fort Erie. There's a couple of stakes today at Presque Isle, too, we should mention. The two-year-olds, the McDermott and the Finest City. Back after this, Rich Migliori joins us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Horse racing fans, major Southern California thoroughbred racing action returns to Los Alamitos Racecourse for the LA County Fair Meet. Opening day is Friday, September 10th, with a 1 p.m. first post. Five stakes races highlight the meet led by the $100,000 Los Alamitos Special on September 19th. That weekend will also feature an on-track live money handicapping contest on Saturday, September 18th. Two berths will be up for grabs to the National Handicapping Championship in Las Vegas. Horse racing fans, visit us on track as we offer comfortable and spacious seating areas. Watch and wager in the main grandstand or at Burgart Sports Bar. And of course, our beautiful Vessels Club is fully open both indoors and out on our patio and terrace level. Purchase your admission tickets at the main gate or online at losalamitos.com. It's a fun time at the track. And don't forget about our $1 early and late pick fours, plus our traditional $2 pick six. Big time excitement is ahead. The LA County Fair Meet at Los Alamitos. Opening day is Friday, September 10th.
Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Vick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Vick.
We're back and just listening to the Los Al message, and they had they ran one stake yesterday, the Johnston, and you had a DQ in there. You had the Bob Hess got taken down, and Steve Knapp's horse got put up. I'm sure we'll get to that. I do have some other individual kind of results, including the Canadian Derby.